And there are just 40 days left until the midterm election, so let's get to this week's district profile. Each week, we're looking at the race in a single congressional district, and this week, it is New Hampshire's 2nd, where incumbent Democrat Anne McLean Custer is facing a challenge from Republican Marilinda Garcia. Josh Rogers is senior political reporter with New Hampshire Public Radio, part of the Here and Now Contributors Network. He's with us from Concord. Welcome.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, tell us about the 2nd district.
Well, it is the western half of the state, north to south, stretching from the Massachusetts border to very small towns on the Canadian border. It has some thickly populated areas. Salem, Nashua, and Concord are places where there are a lot of votes, and also small towns up north and some farmland across along the Vermont border.
And what are the jobs in this district for the most part?
Well, it's a real mix. There are some high-tech and manufacturing jobs in the south and in the Connecticut River Valley, up around where Dartmouth College is in Hanover and Lebanon. There's also a lot of agricultural jobs and some timber industry jobs up north.
Well, let's talk about the candidates. And first, the incumbent, the Democrat, Anne McLean Custer. Here she is speaking on WMUR-TV.
I have a proven record of working to help small businesses create jobs all across the district. I've been fighting for students and women and veterans and to protect Social Security and Medicare for our seniors. So I think the voters will have a clear choice to make in November.
Sounds like she has managed to get in almost every single interest group in that one clip. But tell us about how she's positioning herself for this race.
Well, she's positioning herself as somebody who's been there, and she was a big supporter, a big early supporter of President Obama, was involved in his campaign in 2008, and her fealty to him will cut both ways in this race. She's, you know, popular among liberals and comes from a well-known political family, had a fairly privileged upbringing. Both her parents held state office as moderate Republicans, and her great-grandfather served a term as governor in the early 1900s. But she's voted with a president, 95% of the time, basically. And that's the main charge against her from the Garcia campaign and from Republicans is going to be, is does the president's low approval ratings in New Hampshire, can they sink Custer? And that's what we're going to hear.
And her opponent is Republican Marilinda Garcia, who is in her early 30s and is a member of the New Hampshire House of Representatives. Here she is speaking on WMUR.
It's been my honor to serve in the state legislature where I've always voted for government accountability, reducing the size and scope of government, and keeping taxes low. That's really important. That's been my approach in New Hampshire. And if you would elect me to serve you in Washington, I would seek to do the same there.
And she says she also wants to repeal and replace the president's health care law. She says she's part of a new generation of Republicans. Tell us more about Marilinda Garcia.
Well, she's interesting. She is in her early 30s. She was born in Boston. She served several terms in the New Hampshire House of Representatives. Not cut a huge profile there. She has a background in music. She's a professional harpist who trained at the New England Conservatory, has a degree from the Kennedy School, is a full-bore conservative down the line, has voted to restrict abortion rights. She opposes same-sex marriage, which is state law here. And she still lives with her parents, but has been touted as a rising star by national Republican groups and conservative media who see her as a fresh face who is truly conservative but carries that message in a soft-spoken and appealing way. Republicans have been sensitive to the charge from Democrats that they are anti-woman. And Republicans I've talked to have said, oh, let Custer try to claim that she's anti-woman. But her conservatism on social issues will be, you know, the main thrust of Democrats' arguments against her.
And is she campaigning alongside Scott Brown, the former Massachusetts senator who's now running as a Republican for Senate in New Hampshire?
They have campaigned together. She's also campaigned alongside Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who was up here. Former presidential nominee Mitt Romney endorsed her this week, and outside groups see her as a worthwhile investment. The Club for Growth plowed money into her campaign during the primary. The Freedom Partners Action Fund, a Koch-affiliated PAC, has spent more than $700,000 on ads against Custer so far. There'll be more to come. And so Garcia will be an interesting case for Republicans who are trying to potentially freshen their image, but she's truly conservative down the line, and this district is one that is seen as the more Democratic of the two congressional districts, as a +3 Democrat in the partisan voter index. President Obama pulled 56% of the vote here in this district in 2008 and 54% in 2012. So, you know, this will be an interesting test.
When you talk about outside money coming in to support Garcia, or at least to go against Custer, is there a similar amount of outside money coming in on the other side of the race?
Not thus far, but Custer does have – she's a good fundraiser, and so she has a $1.6 million of her own money right now on hand. Garcia, only $120,000, but Americans for Responsible Solutions, Gabrielle Gifford's gun control group, has dropped $500,000 on Garcia so far, and the DCCC has new ads targeting Garcia on her opposition to abortion rights. And so the Democrats will want to make this about Garcia's social conservatism, and for Republicans, they're going to try to make this all about Annie Custer's fealty to President Obama and the fact that she's sort of, in their eyes, out of touch and unaccountable. She's had some gaffes in town hall meetings, and that's something that we're going to see a lot of, too.
Josh, we think of New Hampshire as a state that pays very close attention to politics, of course, because it's the first in the nation primary state. What about in an off-year election like this, in the midterm elections? Are people paying close attention to this race?
We know that's a good question. The top of the ticket race, I mean, traditionally we have late primaries here and people start tuning in after Labor Day. The amount of money and attention that's being spent up and down the ticket, certainly the Scott Brown versus Jeanne Shaheen race in U.S. Senate, is sucking up a lot of the oxygen. You know, the thinking is that the higher the turnout, probably the better it is for Democrats. Republicans do seem to be more energized, but there's going to be a huge mobilization effort on the part of both campaigns. Democrats are really trying to drum up their advantage among women voters. They see that as the key. And for Republicans, can they harness what they see as a growing distaste for President Obama, who has been popular traditionally, but is at his lowest all-time numbers in the polls locally?
And what are the polls saying for this race in the 2nd District?
They're saying Custer has an advantage, but some polls show that that Garcia could possibly win this. I think most polls show that Custer is up. We're going to have new polling out next week from UNH. That should be telling. But this should be a race that Democrats, in theory, should be able to hold on to this seat. But they're definitely worried.
Josh Rogers, senior political reporter with New Hampshire Public Radio, part of the Here and Now Contributors Network. Josh, thank you.
You're welcome, Jeremy.